You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the second episode. This is Axe to Grind. It is a podcast where we talk about hardcore music, talk about, you know, if we can borrow from hip hop, we're going to say hardcore fuckery. Some of the asinine bullshit that happens as well. It's almost like a gossip show, almost, yeah. but because we're going to try to keep current. But it's also, we're going to start doing segments. We got a really nice response to that first episode, so expect us to try a lot of shit out. Maybe some of it'll fail, maybe it won't. I'm one of your hosts. My name's Patrick. I'm in bands.
I'm Tom. I was in bands.
You still are technically sure. In bands. Okay, all right, we'll let you fly.
I'm Bob. I've been in no bands. Actually one, but
you've
we'll
never
talk
been in
about
a band?
That. Yeah, I have.
What band?
They were called the Bear Club, who evolved into wheelchair basketball, which evolved into
what
Get Real.
Year was wheelchair basketball?
Wheelchair basketball was 2001,
yeah,
2002.
That sounds about right.
Played shows in Brick, New Jersey, obviously. Played with Tear It Up. Played with a band from Tennessee, The People's War, were terrified because it was a bunch of surf kids running around saying very offensive words, smacking each other to an almost pop punk band called Wheelchair Basketball. And then that evolved into Get Real. So there we go.
Okay.
Let's get it started.
A little bit of personal history. Today, we are going to be talking about 2018. A lot of you, as we do this podcast, are at FYA Fest. If you're there and you're having a good time, good. We're going to try to check in with some of you via text, possibly a phone call, see what the temperature is down there. Are any bands, do we know, not playing because of this terrible fucking weather?
No, I think everyone made it.
Okay.
I think all the bands made it. You know, Sam Triple B couldn't make it to the fest. Sam, I think that's a lie. I'm just calling you. I think you just
this
made
is
up
a call
the whole
out
thing.
On Sam?
I think he just made it up. No, he probably did, but, you know, Floridians.
I don't think he'd want to be sitting on that much merch. He printed
that's true.
A bunch of merch.
Maybe it was just a web store thing. I like it as a story better if it
yeah,
was just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I just did this order. Oh, can't make it.
Help me out.
Who wants to say, honestly, is that the least, that's the most thankless job, being the label dude at a fest? Like, that's
well,
rough. Sitting
yeah.
at the table all day. Let's, maybe you take a couple breaks and watch your bands. I don't know. Is that fun?
That's true. You have to be a social being. And Sam is, but
absolutely.
To me, that would, at this juncture in my life, that would be torture, is to be at a music event where things are loud, there's a lot of people, but
and
I don't get
like
to enjoy.
A lot of it too.
I don't get to enjoy. Actually, but this year, FYA.
Oh, this looks great.
I would sit through a lot of FYA.
It looks really
year.
Good.
From
I,
beginning to end, every band on there is pretty cool.
Yeah. Shout out to FYA. I think Bob has just killed it the last couple of years. Actually, it's a fest that Sam and Bob started together. Sam stepped away. Bob does it. And I think his lineups for the last 3 years have been amazing. We're actually going to do a whole episode for everybody called Dear Fests,
yeah.
where it's going to be an open letter to the fests at large. We maybe get specific, got some ideas, suggestions, opportunities for improvement. We'll see. We're going to go deep on it.
That's a cutthroat world. You know how many weird DMs we're going to get over that one?
It's all right. We're going to roll with it.
That's going to be DM central.
Well, only one of us has actually booked a fest.
That's right.
That's true. So I'm going to say that to those of you that caught the first episode, response has been so positive in the way that we hoped, which is that even those of you that felt like you got tiny bit shitted on, got the format of the show, understood that everybody's here to talk about their opinions. It's not to degrade you, make you less. It's to actually big up you, but also make it clear that we might just not like what you do on any level,
which is fine.
I think
I like a lot of
honestly,
people,
get the format. The format is if somebody's talking about you, you're winning. Period.
Absolutely. So this episode and maybe the next is just going to be the three of us. We are going to get young people. We have some lined up, but you're stuck with three old men today. all right, let's 2018. I got one to throw out that I haven't mentioned yet. Fucked Up is doing a new record. Does anyone under the age of 25 really care?
Not a living human being.
I'm psyched.
I know you are.
I'm real psyched. Follow the band. Big into it. Tom.
Not into it.
Nah.
Have you ever been?
I like them more when they're like that like shitty punk like Negative Approach band. And not like, I get it. What they do is amazing and it's cool and
But is it? If you don't like it, isn't it amazing?
No. But it's not for me. There's a lot of stuff that I don't like.
I'll axe to grind all day on this band.
Go ahead. You had one poster up in our apartment in Albany, and it was fucked up.
Yeah, it's good art.
You guys live together?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. How long? Lincoln Drive, a year. Yeah. But I bailed.
It was a long year.
It was a rebuilding period for Bob, and he's like, Albany's cheap. I was like, it is. He's like, all right.
And just to go on our thin blood, because we were talking about how it's cold everywhere, and he lives, you know, Pat's talking about living in, you know, heat on all the time. We didn't turn the heat on in the apartment unless it was below 55.
Yeah. We were living like animals.
Like full, human beings.
So anyway, my longtime beef with Fucked Up, it's not that long. It's like 2 years now, is the kid does a podcast.
Damien, yeah.
Yes. And
a friend.
And pretended not to know who I was on that shit. I got like a dozen messages from people being like, yo, this fool is casting shade on you by pretending not to know who you are. Now, listen here. When I walk into Target, I don't expect a living human being to know who the fuck I am. When I walk into the DMV, you know what I mean? Not a single person.
Sure.
You know what I mean? However, I've put out 50 fucking records, some of which on the same label.
True.
You know what I mean? So
you can say you know the name at least. You might not know the guy personally,
you
know, sure.
If you can't ID me, fine.
I've listened to a bunch of episodes. I haven't heard. Now I need to find that one. That sounds good.
I'm really excited.
We're going to isolate that and put it on
totally,
here.
Yeah, that actually, that's good. That's good sound. To be totally fair, I didn't listen to it, so I'm going on secondhand people trying to.
So you didn't even see
it? Yeah, secondhand axe to grind. All right, but I think, here's the thing. I'm psyched. And I think I'm a rare case because I liked them when they were on that singles, like early shit. Like I actually got on them real early when even people who liked that shit were like, yo, they're not a good band.
Yeah, you were advocating.
Were you the Generations Comp guy?
Yeah.
That was you.
Yeah, that's me.
It's a very good comp.
Thanks. Some people do think that.
I enjoyed it.
So, no, I got into them early because their name's Fucked Up. I thought that was cool as shit. And I liked some of the bands the dudes had done before that. And to the point where a good friend of mine was in the band Tear It Up. They were going up to Toronto playing with Fucked Up. Actually, I think Mental did that weekend with them, the first Mental tour weekend. Okay. And it was early, like Fucked Up maybe didn't have a record out. So I was like, yo, get me a demo, get me a t-shirt. I'm psyched for this band. My friend in Tear It Up went, yo, they were so bad. I didn't see if they had shirts. I didn't see if they had tapes, but they were so bad, I wasn't going to buy you one anyways. But so anyways, I've liked them from the beginning and have evolved and enjoyed all their stuff. And I think their next record is going to be interesting. I hope people check it out. I think that
I
don't think young people, right. No, the people who listen to this show.
This is me being more objective now. I don't think so. Fucked Up has a really interesting career in the respect that hardcore kids were with it. Many of a certain age are diehard loyalists.
Right. Mm-hmm. Really, my age, probably.
Yes, yeah. Exactly your age. Feel really strongly about it. But the people that I know that got into Fucked Up through Spin Magazine.
Right.
Those people are off it.
Yep, and have been for a minute.
And have been for a long time. And
sure.
I think that if Fucked Up had come at a slightly different time, there might have been much more pushback to that success that they had.
Yeah.
But they came in at a good time where people were like, yo, I'm actually the way you're navigating this is kind of funny.
Yep.
And I like the way that you're doing this.
And it felt natural. It felt organic. It was weird, but it felt organic.
Well, because
I mean, they put on an A-track.
But here's the thing. They didn't put all the stunts, all the bullshit to get attention was inoffensive because it wasn't. When they changed their sound, which they did,
yes,
it wasn't to anything easier to sell.
No.
So that part, you can't ever take away from them.
Right.
Whereas every other band was trying to, we're going left because left is where the money's at.
Yeah, let's do this.
Maybe Fucked Up thought, hey, we can't be a hardcore band forever. Let's move this in a direction. But the direction that they chose was fundamentally more interesting. Now, personally, I think that they are the anti-Converge to me, and I'll explain why. Converge, I think Jake, as a vocalist, fails half the time. And I think that that's because he's trying different things on every record.
Sure.
Right? Yep. So for every record, and you're trying different shit, some shit's going to stick, some shit is not. He established way early in the career, I'm going to do this you're going to listen. I'm going to try different vocal approaches. Some of them are going to sound borderline goofy, but now that you know I'm going to do this,
you're ready.
You're ready. And sure. And yeah. Some of it you'll like, some of it you won't. And people disagree, right? Like, there's totally. Converged stuff that
people
love.
I mean, you talked
love.
About it last episode. You liked some of the stuff he was doing last, right? Yeah. Tom's singing, he sounds like you.
Correct,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, like, that's a thing that I deeply admire about Converge is yeah. like, hey, we're going to throw this everything
and
at
so
the
to
wall.
Flip that to fucked up being the anti-Converge.
Being the anti-Converge in the respect that the novelty of his voice not growing in any respect
while the band gets more and
yes.
more.
Well, yeah. Now I'm gonna go back on that. His style hasn't changed. 100% agree. I think he's gotten better at that style as
oh,
I've
well,
gone
no,
on.
That might be
totally.
True.
Totally. You know what I mean? But you're right, because you look at and you listen to that band, and some of the interesting parts to me of that band's growth is the tension between what the vocals sound like and what the music sounds like. I don't even know. There has to be some thought to that interplay, but you're right. There is some static like with that. That's the only thing.
And maybe, like you said, maybe that is an appeal for a lot of listeners. Like
maybe. And but you go, and you know, if you listen, you imagine those records. I'll say this for self-defense. When you listen to the stuff with Caroline singing versus you, oh my God, totally different band. Same material.
Well, that's the thing. Is
right?
Like, at this juncture in my career, and they've been playing basically as long, you know,
yeah, same.
It is, if I thought I could get away with it, I'd be doing like the, you know, the shoo-shoo fucking I'd be doing all that shit because like, not for nothing, it, when you feel caged by your own ability, which... you know,
Tom, what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you mean.
Tom and I are both vocalists of no real talent. We
vocalist,
both,
hard quotes.
Right, yeah, yeah. Right. We both understand what it's like to be in a fucking
cage. I think there's some talent to it.
Well, it's an ability.
Is it a talent?
No, the willingness to do it and to go put it on, that's the ability, right? It's
right.
Like the willingness to.
Right, it's not easy. Not everyone can do it.
No, no, no.
Not everyone can do it.
As much as, like, you know, if my family heard it, they'd be like, what the fuck? But. Not everyone. I mean, you've heard people grab microphones and, and you go,
God.
What
yes.
are you listening to?
But here's the thing. I would. This is not me being
deprecating.
It's not me being humble in any sort of way. I'm not even good at that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, for example, any effort to sound genuinely aggressive is like really I'm not good at. Right.
Sure. I mean, I think it's just what you define as aggressive. I think your best, and I mean, we're getting off, so maybe we'll pull it back in a second. Your best and most aggressive vocals are almost strained and feel sharp. Whereas when
it's
I hear, like, what's that Sacred Emmanuel Heart, whatever, Snitch Bastard Judas song for you.
Okay, but
that you sound aggressive, but it's a different type. You know what I mean? And that's almost like where you have to go.
Okay. So let's rein it back to fucked up. His voice, to his credit, he is really good at that voice.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? He is good at that voice. I'm just personally very tired I just listened to there was a Fall record that came out last year. Mm-hmm. It's the Fall. It's all the records are on a continuum of sounding vaguely like the same fucking record. And his voice, I mean, I listened to the entire discography. That's like 150 records over the course of a few months. And his voice changes just because he becomes a more severe alcoholic. There's no like real intention.
Yeah, sure.
So like there are acts that I am okay with. Like
doing
this
that.
Is all I'm ever going to get. You know what I mean? Like, but with Fucked Up, the rest of the band is at this point legit soaring off into U2 in triplets. You know what I mean? Like, and
John Brennan still yelling.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I mean, I'm excited about it. I think the answer is, we don't know. I would tell people, if you've never checked out that band, go listen to the Hidden World LP. It's a double LP. It's
That's
long.
That's a hit, right?
Or well, I mean,
David Comes to Light.
David Comes to Light is great. But
That's
I think,
the hit?
But Hidden World is the entry level. Hidden World, if you like the melody side of it, the more musical stuff, go to David Comes to Life, then you backtrack to Chemistry of Common Life, and then their last one, which was Glass something or other. Sorry, guys. If you liked the more gruff stuff, go from Hidden World and go back to the singles collection.
Because
that's the earlier shit. I think the new record's going to be interesting, if nothing else. And I mean, I don't think young people listen to it, but what do I know?
No. I always find it fascinating, too, which bands get kind of picked up by that, like, Vice scene. And they were one of the early ones that I was just like, how?
Well, they get picked up and put down, you know what I mean?
Like, you know, like them or, like, Trash Talk. Yep. It's like, well, how does Trash Talk make sense to some kid that, like, likes Action Bronson?
It's the energy. It's just energy.
I think Trash Talk is fucking fantastic, but I think it's
Trash Talk to me is 100% the precursor to maybe this is a totally separate episode we can do.
Yeah.
The kind of rap that kids are into right now. Like where it's
SoundCloud.
Like this, like the shit where it is like, okay. Lil Pump, whatever the fuck. Sorry.
I think Lil Peep is the guy that died.
Lil Peep passed away. One of these fucking dudes.
Lil Pump
rate,
has like rainbow hair or something.
No. That's all right, keep going. That's Tekashi. Okay, so anyway.
What?
Anyway, I was trying to talk to somebody about that music, and they're a big fan. And I said, yeah, but is it good? And he's like, yeah, man, it's good as fuck. And I was like, and he's like, oh, wait, you mean like talented and shit? Like good? And I was like, yeah, I guess that's what I meant.
Different? Yeah.
And he goes, no. But it like, you can't not get pumped up. And like, here's the deal. Like, this is not me shitting on fucking Trash Talk by making that comparison. It's simply to say that there are people who would never miss a Trash Talk show.
Correct.
Who will never listen to the record.
Absolutely.
And and that is a relationship that is kind of rare, honestly.
It's rare, and it's from an artistic point of view, it's tough because you're going, I'm creating this thing and I'm putting it out there. You're interested in this one platform, the live side, but then the recordings, you don't particularly care. It's more about the energy. So that's a whole episode. Let's set that aside. Let's go. All right, so fucked up. I'm psyched.
You're psyched.
Everybody else, whatever. No, I don't care about you.
Honestly, if they do bold shit, if they make kind of like the decisions that I think they should have made two records ago, not to be a dick, I'll be interested. You know what I mean? I would be grinding entirely too big an axe if I didn't confess that early shit is just really good hardcore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's undeniable. But okay, what else are we excited for?
What else is coming out in 2018? I'm psyched to hear this Twitching Tongues record.
Okay, so let me.
You've heard it. So
I've heard
right
it.
We talked about it. All right, so. Yeah. So Twitching Tongues, let me go on them, because somebody's like, yeah, we just don't like them, is inferred to like me and my friends. I actually saw Twitching Tongues years ago and was so put on by the performance. I was like, wow. I actually went and listened to some of the music. Recording didn't grab me like I'd hoped, but I thought it was cool live. And I went up to the dude, your buddy Taylor, after and was like, hey, I don't like any of the bands you're influenced by, but I like you. I liked what you guys did. And he was kind of like, what? I'm like, Only Living Witness, that shit sucks. All that shit. Yeah, right. Bad. Bad music. But I was like, I liked what they did live. It hasn't caught me, but everybody hates that last record, right? And we talked about that last episode.
Yeah,
right?
We talked about it last episode. That last record is maligned in an interesting way. Okay, so let's talk about this in a real way. We're going to be hella fucking honest for a second. There's two things to do if you step in shit with a record. You tour you tour extra aggressively to...
You bash it down people's throats.
You bash it down.
You go,
you
push it.
Or you disappear for a year. They chose the latter.
Yes.
And I think that was the move.
Did you think it was the move at the time? Because I got to be honest, I didn't think so.
You know, no.
I thought it was kind of weak.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, I have mixed feelings on that because, firstly,
are we too inside baseball on this? Like knowing that there was response to it? Like, did they feel a way? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you got to think, like, they're younger dudes. They come out with this, they put this record together that they think is going to be their grand epic, and then it kind of, the kids that like them don't like it. I'd be bummed out too.
Yeah, I mean, any person would be bummed out.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, not for nothing, the average band's LP cycle or release schedule is, for those of you that aren't in bands and shit, maybe I'm speaking to a lot of band
Greek,
people.
Yeah.
But basically, an LP is a labor of love. You put a lot of work into it. And if you do it right, which is an entirely separate episode where we talk about the quality of recording, if you do it right, it really feels like an accomplishment. And I get bands telling me all the time, because I love putting out small records for bands. I love putting out
singles.
Like EPs, singles, etc. And bands tell me, no, it's time that we did an LP. And I'm always like pushing back hard on that, because for most of you, it's not. You know what I mean? And particularly if you can't afford it. But,
but everybody wants an LP.
But I know, you know, at least you know, we just info-rided like the next. We've got 5 episodes right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, true. Okay,
this is another episode.
So we're,
with Twitching Tongues, though, I think if they would have put that In Love, There Is No Law record out on Metal Blade,
yeah,
they'd be probably where Code Orange is now.
Okay, that's a
there's some good tracks on that, right?
That's a really for a dude that grew up listening to every band.
Yeah,
that they ripped
on. You were at Lamore's rocking to that.
Yeah,
show.
And then when I said that, I think I said it to Colin. He's like, dude, that's like the nicest. Like, I was like, dude, you guys sound like Marauder and Carnivore and every band from Brooklyn in 1992.
Yeah,
and he's like, dude, it's like
they're students
of
that.
Want. Yeah, they, really, they are
and some other
disciples
questionable
of it.
Albany stuff, but that's all another.
Yeah. They're Troy Core dudes. But so here's the thing. Okay, so here's the thing. You pour your heart into something, and the response is tepid. Now, one of my bands puts out multiple records a year. There's people that straight fucking hate 30% of them, and that's no loss because we put out so many. You're welcome to hate what you fucking hate.
And is it expectation too?
Well, yeah.
Like, they're coming out thinking this record's going to, like,
well, that's the thing. If
kill.
You wait 2 years for a record, for an LP
that's
from
right.
a band that you love.
That's right, yeah.
And you have really been looking forward to this. And then it's just brick. It's just bones.
Right, and it's just your expectation. You were expecting so much, and then it comes out. And whether it's bad or it's different, you know what I mean? There's a lot that goes in. And if it's just not hitting what your expectations are, you are...
Yeah, you're bummed. And that bum transfers to the band who feels it. You know what I mean?
So they disappeared for a minute. I don't know. I don't think I don't hate on it. I don't think it was weak. I think it was tough. I wonder how the label was feeling on it. But like
I don't think you wonder. I think
most
labels feeling not good.
But like here's the thing. Props to them for not just being like, "Oh, put out a bad record when we had our new big label debut. Let's close shop." Like,
oh no!
That.
If you like, break up, if breaking up is the weak
that's
move.
The biggest
that's
totally
the weak move.
Yeah.
And like, props
that's
to those
trash.
Dudes. And we say they're young because they are young, but those dudes have been doing this for 10 years.
Yes, well,
right.
You
and
know,
that's
like,
a
so,
way
no,
young,
totally
I mean,
not.
Like,
no,
you
no,
know.
No, yeah. And like, props to them.
From 17 on, they've been like a fucking thing.
You've heard the record. Just give us a preview. You can speak words without, you know, you're not playing the songs on here.
Okay.
What's the first song called?
So here's the deal. Lyrics. I think they're actually, they're doing some countdown on their socials.
That
on their socials.
17.
Is it cool?
Yeah, I think so.
I assume,
is that cool? You like it?
I don't know if I love it.
Okay. I assume.
Especially when you don't know it's a countdown.
Yeah, we're breaking the news here. It's a countdown for the announcement.
Right, but if Colin's like, you know.
Yeah, well, if it's just him announcing, hey, I'm doing Vine 2, then yeah, it's not great. But here's the thing. So I think that I assume that there's an announcement at the end of those fucking days.
Maybe it's a single or something?
Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
So with what I heard of the record, I think it is a definite improvement over the last record.
Which wasn't a bad record. It just wasn't what people were
It wasn't what people
for.
Would wanted, and they needed to trim the fat. They were trying to do too many things at one time.
It was a
view.
Riff-a-rama. A lot of riffs.
So here's the deal.
True story, young bands. There can be too many riffs.
There's always, I mean, in my view, there's always too many riffs.
All right, so give us the deal.
New record, solid. This is not me equivocating and being like, well, but I honestly, in my heart, and I've told Taylor this, they're going to have to play the shows for the people that want what this new record is. And like, to me, it's not power metal, but it is that weird. There's a weirdo out there that likes what this record actually is. And instead of playing for hardcore kids exclusively who have dreams of liking that stuff, or this is the only band of that type that
they like. Know, right.
They need to play. And listen,
what's a band that they should, that would be the optimal touring, like,
I mean, right now,
main support.
I don't even
like,
know. I'm so outside that fucking world.
But I mean, is it
it's
like
not,
some,
it's not like Nightwish. It's not like that sort of shit.
Is it like fucking Watain? Is it like a fucking
Cradle
of Filth type shit?
Okay,
I mean,
okay. Watain is not right, but I'm going to say that like,
atmospheric stuff? Like,
No.
No, it's got to be more aggressive than that.
No, it's like, I think that there is a self-aware, I won't use the word goofy, but it's a self-aware metalness to it.
Like a tongue-in-cheek, though. Do you think it's like a kind of like a joke? Like,
it's not a joke. No, not a joke. Those dudes love that music. Those dudes love that fucking music.
But like the mask and the fucking...
It's self-aware. It's like, it is a bit in the classic sense of the word. And like Seb, who was our last guest from last episode, if you didn't listen to it, go listen to it. Seb seems like a dude who is really keen, as a lot of young dudes are, on... Hey, the thing I'm being presented needs to be 100% sincere to the thoughts that you have in your head at all times. It needs to be a direct correlation between your feelings and the music that I'm getting. Whereas I think most older dudes tend to understand there's a side of me that like really fucking loves metal, hardcore, punk, whatever it is, but is also very much aware that it is a goof parade and and fucking I can...
Yeah, there's a performance element to the whole thing.
And I can enjoy all of these levels at one time. This new record from Twitching Tongues is all of those levels. It has some really heartfelt fucking songs on it about real shit. It has some almost like...
Is there like a love song to Vine being gone?
No, like there is like... you know, like topical shit, like world shit, right? But not, but like through that metal lens of
all right,
like.
So you said that there was like a ballad on there. And in my head, all I can think of is the Strife ballad. I fell again. That's, I don't know why.
Yeah, that's vocal range. That's an experiment.
But that's what I'm thinking of, like when you're telling me there's like a fucking like
ballad.
All right,
so quick thing. Let's close it. The Twitching Tongues record that's coming out in 2018. Is going to be
fucked up for like an hour.
I know, but you know, whatever. I wanted to
like,
move that along too.
You guys don't like that shit.
I wanted to move that along too. I wanted to move that along too. It's going to be better, the same, or worse than the last record.
Oh, musically better, no debate. What will it do for them? If that's the question.
No, that was going to be the second question, but that,
the question is if they actually, and I say this as I would say it to fucking Taylor or Colin. If they get out of their own way and stop the refusal to be lame by any circumstance, because let me give you a heads up to people at home. Most of y'all are over this and it's not a concern, but Taylor is an old school guy trapped in a young guy's body. So he is stuck on this. And I get stuck on this actually with one of my bands and not the other. You are going to tour with lame shit. That is a natural fucking unavoidable fact. You are going to tour with something that you do not think is remotely cool, and you are going to have this moment where you think, does this mean I'm not cool?
Let me not tarnish myself by subjecting myself to doing this tour
and
with
putting
garbage.
My name on this poster with this band.
Now,
not every tour is going to be a Hatebreed fucking Satisfaction
tour.
Here's
the thing is like, at some point, you are going to have to say, in every aspect of my life, artistic or professional, I have done a thing that was not the thing I would like to do. You know what I mean? Like, it is. And for people, listen, I am the best worst example of a grown man who only does what he wants to do to the detriment of his entire fucking existence.
Yeah, as me and Pat were talking at the pizza place before Tom got there, that neither of us have a dime. We're broke.
Right now, I'm not.
And Tom is the success on the podcast.
Both,
so listen to him.
We both bought ski masks today to rob places.
Yeah,
that's we are low right now.
So Tom, well, we need you later. Yeah, we need you later.
Yeah, we're going to need you. So the point is that I get it. I really get being in music and being like, yeah, listen, this is the most fulfilling thing I do. Why would I want to do anything lame?
Yeah.
But like, once you monetize the shit, you are going to have to do, and this is the part that Taylor knows this. This motherfucker, he's going to text me about this, but he knows this. It can be fun to tour with lame bands.
Yes. Absolutely.
You don't have to love everything. And this is now not me talking to Taylor. He's a grown man.
No,
he
this
knows
is some
this,
broad
but,
stuff about
yeah, this
like,
is broad stuff.
About not having shame in making money, creating the art that you make.
Right. And maybe bringing them over to your side.
Well, also, well, that's the that's some
yeah,
booking agent nonsense
shit. Like,
that
a
I
whole
hate,
episode.
It's true.
Yes.
If you play enough full rooms, you will find out who your fan is by the end of those tours.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yep. And so, those kids might come out the next time you come.
And they might come out, and guess what? There might be significant crossover. I think Weezer is the worst band that has ever existed.
Wow.
And I run into people that like Weezer and my bands a whole lot.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't get to go into their heads and delete the parts of their brain.
And if Rivers Cuomo hit you up tomorrow, church.
He wouldn't.
Self-defense, you say no.
We're gonna do the psychotherapy. Pat's gonna sit on this couch and we're gonna go through and talk to self-defense Pat and drug church
Pat.
That, very different people.
I'm not exaggerating. This is probably the brokest I've been. I left like a real job more than a year ago, and I am straight up like ready to rob people broke. There is literally no amount of money. So like if somebody was like, I can give you a life-changing amount of money to do a tour with Weezer, I would say, I'll change my own motherfucking life.
So hold on,
opposition to what you just said.
So drug church.
But I'm a self-destructive piece of shit.
Yes. Drug church, Pat, hey, $50, you're opening this Weezer US tour. You guys in?
Yeah, can we do international
too? Self-defense. We'll give you $1,000 a night open for Weezer direct support.
No, what are you?
$5,000, $10,000, no, you know, right.
I'd say keep chugging it up. No, there's no amount.
We can get to the number, but I don't. I do believe, Pat, that he would not do that.
There's something mentally
wrong
with me.
So this is a whole episode. We're going crazy
nose,
here.
But,
yeah.
But, so anyway, twitching tongues.
Do it.
Bottom line, if they do the shows they're supposed to do with this type of music, they will be a significantly bigger band by the end of 2019.
What kind? Give me a show. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
But I want your opinion. I want to hear you.
I'm just curious. Yeah,
my honest opinion.
Having heard the record.
Honest opinion, because I don't know any of that soaring vocal shit.
Sure.
I think, and this is a weird take, I think they need to fall in with bands like Municipal Waste.
Yeah,
And not because they sound anything like Municipal Waste. Not a thing.
Sure.
But because Municipal Waste understands a thing that I don't even like, but is just a fucking fact, which is, hey, y'all, this is going to be a fun evening.
Yep.
And
I've seen them, and it's fun.
You come here to have a good time.
Correct.
You understand that it is slightly goofy that we're all grown men. It's covered in sweat, writhing on each other. It is weird. It is gross and sweaty, but you are going to feel really good at the end of this.
Yeah.
Do you think the material that they put, that Twitching Tongues puts forward, Colin, fucking funny dude, on record, he's not funny.
No, he's not.
Municipal Waste literally has songs about throwing up and partying. Like, it's the entire vibe is
that one. But I think the live element, I think that they would, it's an interesting mix. I think it would be a good tour. I think that's a cool tour. Book that. Municipal Waste, headlining, direct support, Twitching Tongues. The material probably goes over because the live performance is strong.
Right.
Now, they don't have to be goofy.
Right, no.
They just have to present
and
do the damn
thing. Right,
because I
think that kind of ruins, all right, so, and I'll get off this after.
No, no.
So I went to go see Maiden over the summer, right, at Barclays Center. Ghost was opening. I couldn't give two shits for Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, you gotta listen to it. To me, it sounds like Blue Oyster Cult. I didn't like Blue Oyster Cult either.
They're good.
Ghost. No, but Ghost
Blue Oyster
live.
Cult, not Ghost.
Blue Oyster Cult,
incredibly impressive.
But, okay.
So they come out, they have the whole fucking
show, right.
Like, he comes out as the Pope, then he changes into this fucking, like, slick, like, silk thing and all this sort of stuff. Amazing. It's really cool. He hits all the notes, everything. He talks in between, and he sounds like a 1920s vaudevillian comic.
Whoa. Is that real?
Yes. He goes,
wow.
Let's talk about the female orgasm. Who's going to make each other come tonight?
Oh, my God.
No, I don't like that.
In between songs. So
I'm
now,
dead. I don't need
I'm
that.
Like, everyone's covered, you know, their faces are covered. He's like, they have a full backdrop of a church. It's really impressive. And in between, he sounds like comic, the insult comic.
This is,
I don't need that.
This is Gwar. It's
Gore.
Okay, but that kind of ruins
but
the
it's
whole
like,
vibe.
At least Gore is self-aware to be like, yo, we're fucking aliens shooting
jizzing
blood
people
all over you, right?
Sure.
So here's a question. Did either of you see Twitching Tongues on the last run or the last two runs where Colin's wearing
a robe,
the Ric Flair robe?
No,
and
didn't
they got
see
the
it, just saw pictures.
On.
I saw photos.
Okay, so what's your takeaway?
Wrong tours for doing that.
Oh, correct.
I feel like
that's on Municipal Waste. Yeah.
If I'm a dude like going to see Hatebreed with my fucking
bros,
my goatee and my fucking tribal,
yes,
I'm gonna be like, what?
No,
I mean, if you're Hatebreed,
I love it. You're not able to put yourself in
tribal
mind.
I think I would have done it for that. I think the No Warning, Life and Death, but that's also because it was a familiar room, you know.
Yes.
So I think they felt fun doing it, and I don't think it takes away. Like, props to them. I hope, because what I like is the contrast that Colin's a funny dude, but he and Taylor both don't don't take music as a joke. They're not writing joke music. They're
That's
not
what
writing
I mean.
Fart yeah. jokes. Right. Yeah. They're writing real songs. But that shit could present, and I think live, their performances are strong enough that they could go on tour with Municipal Waste and wouldn't get smoked and would win fans who were previously unfamiliar with the band.
That's exactly what I think they need to do. And there are bands in that clean vocal yep. sort of shit that I don't know that they could definitely now compete with. That's what I guess I'm saying.
Sure.
This new record sounds competitive there. I straight up know so little. One time I met the booking agent for like all of those type of bands, and he had a braided goatee. And that was everything I needed to know about that scene of music.
Fair.
Moving on.
No, yes. Tom, what's your prediction for Twitching Tones though? Given what Pat sold you on.
I'm psyched to hear it. I hope they put the work in, because I think they're a talented bunch of dudes. I hope Sean Martin writes some stuff on there, because Hatebreed can't really do much wrong. And I'd be curious. I just hope that they stick to it and kind of, if it's not, you know, a giant hit right out of the box. That they
oh, you don't want to see them recoil again?
No, I want them to fucking...
You think that could happen?
Yo, Tom is putting the challenge down. He thinks you guys shrunk up last time. Hit him with that hard stuff. Hit him stiff.
Hit him stiff. No, all because right. they're such a good band.
Yeah.
They need to just fucking hustle and not do, like, you know, they did that one tour at Harm's Way and then went away.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think
they were too cool for school. I get that. But, like, I think they made the right move. I think time is going to prove that they made the right move of being like, oh, y'all don't love this one? Guess what? You're still going to buy our $85 hockey jerseys.
It's true. Blue grape style.
While we chill and you forget about that record, then we're going to hit you with something that makes your skin so.
If they, kill it with this record, vengeance is theirs. All right, next.
Yes.
What are you excited for?
Oh, shit. That's a great question. What am I excited for?
It can't be a record you're putting out yourself.
No.
Harm Reduction Records.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series
about how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.
Now, what am I excited for? What are some of the long fucking put-off records
that we're waiting
on? Is there a King 9 record that was supposed to come out 4 years ago?
It's recorded, right?
Apparently, they recorded with the dude from War Hungry. I think it's
Arthur.
Done. Yes.
Nice.
Okay, and it's done?
And that dude's supposedly a master, so, yeah.
Okay, all right. I would be interested to hear that. I'm trying to think if there's anything that I'm really fucking excited about. You know,
let me throw this one out. Kind of a weird one. Fiddlehead is doing an LP this year. Pat Flynn and Alex Henry from Basement, their band. Very Swizz-ish, but like that's the easy throw out there. I think it's an interesting, I actually think it's Pat's best post Have Heart project by far. Yeah. And I think the lyrics are really personal. I think it goes deep. I think that's a like must check out. I think it's coming out this year. I think it's all recorded and all that.
So. I do like that he does that sort of stuff because I feel like he could have easily just done another Have Heart band, which,
well, he
I
did.
Mean, which
it's
is free.
Right.
But I'm saying he's also done his
Sweet Jesus. So right. He's done so post
he's done different
post,
shit.
Post Have cool. Heart, he did Clear, which is even more just like a straightforward hardcore band. It's Youngblood Records, not Bridge Nine, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's like that level. It's on Triple B, but, you know, it's straightforward. He did Sweet Jesus, which is Swiss Worship. Fiddlehead is somewhere in the mix there. It's got a little bit more, I don't know, not quite groove, but it's aggressive. It's really cool. I saw him at Brooklyn Bazaar and thought it was great. And he's doing Free. And I think
my girl
that,
was there and
there.
Thought the same thing, man.
Yeah, she was on it. She was, so it was cool.
So here's the thing. This is a weird criticism coming from a dude that would tell you 90% of the time, I'm just about the music, man. You know what I mean? Like, this is a weird criticism. Are they going to fucking do anything?
That's the question. I think they should. They got to apply.
They got to
play California. Go
they
play.
Gotta play.
They only have played a handful, and I get it. I'm sure Free gets those offers a lot more. And like, yo, you're busy with Free and having a life. Basement's like a fucking real band on Fueled by Ramen, and you got to do that. But like, Fiddlehead's a cool enough project. And it's a band that's doing their own thing and having that active with a lot of the other stuff. Like, hardcore is heavy music right now, exclusively almost.
Yeah.
It's fucking heavy all the time. And that's cool, but you mix in some of this other stuff, and that's where the young kids can get a cool influence and hear a whole bunch of different sounds and realize, yo, this all falls into my fucking bucket.
Yo, you raise a compelling point that right now everything is heavy or it was recorded in a basement and is the same tired shit that we've heard a million times.
Right.
Lowest common denominator core.
And with no sort of middle ground for like, here's the
weirdos.
Yeah, right. Right.
Like, and let's be careful because we don't have the young person in the room to check us, but this is our perspective. I agree with you.
You know what? I think, the 23-year-olds that I talk to name a lot of that Pacific Northwest stuff, a lot of the, like...
Gag.
Yeah, well, the gag adjacent,
yes.
That sort of shit, they tell me that that's the weirdo stuff, but I'm going to be frank with you, it's not weird.
it's weird for the sake of being the same. I think gag is only weird because of our time and place and things. It feels pretty tread for me. Like, I don't think it's bad by any chance, but like, I hear it and I'm like, oh, you know, all right, I see what you're doing.
The singer's persona makes it weirder than it actually is.
Absolutely. It's fast
like if
hardcore.
That was like some like fat dude in a fucking in overalls, right. No one would think any
that's,
of it.
If that's a,
he's not if this dude's around, you know, singing naked.
If that's people, a record from 2004 on Deranged Records, it's like, oh,
that's
cool, more of the
point.
Same.
Right. That's
you know what
my
I mean?
Point. Yep. Yeah. Okay, so...
And there are a few bands from that ilk. That band Bib, I think they're from Nebraska. I actually think that band's actually cool.
If you're from Nebraska, you're doing something weird.
Yo, check it out. They did a 7-inch on Deranged, and they got their LP coming out on Popwig or something. I don't know. Something like that's coming. I'm curious about... That's the one for 2018 I'm curious about.
What else we got? Who?
Oh, there's a ton. I'll put a big ask out there. There's a lot of little things coming that are like demos. So like demos and band camps. Make it past band camp, people. Please. Please do something more. You know, like get out, tour a little bit, whether that's just local. Don't worry about getting on a big national tour and being an opening slot and having a booking agent, all that garbage. Don't worry about that. Do some weekends. Play shows. Talk to people. You got fucking Twitter. That's the way this shit is. Just hit some dude up. Go play 6 hours away and come home the next day. Cool. Get past there because there's tons of little stuff that I hear all the time. They're like, oh, that's neat.
Broken up by the next time you
broken
hear
up the next time. Yep. You know, and a friend of the room, Trey McCarthy, referred to a band who I put out their record many moons ago. He's like, oh, that band was a fart. Yeah. And that stuck with me because he was like, yeah, you know, it happened. Everybody in the room smelled it and went, what was that? That was interesting. And then it disappeared minutes later, and it was like it never happened.
Well, you want to hear
He was talking about my friend's band, Robot Whales, which was cool.
Robot Whales is a record. Great example. Spanish sure. Bombs, great example. Yeah. These are older now.
Now 10 years, Jesus.
Yeah, these are 10-year-old
What's
examples
the new band?
Of this.
Well, newer, Wet Witch. Right?
I mean, we
Wet
could, keep, we could keep going up. We could keep going up the
Shout
ladder
out.
Of
Iron Claw Skates.
Of fart bands.
Yeah.
Hoax was the fart band maybe five years ago.
Squirm. Tons of these things. Where it's just like, oh, what is this? Everybody's curious. Civilized, that band I mentioned last podcast. Yeah. I thought that band was fucking great, but they broke up before I got a chance to see them. Most people got a chance to see them, and that's fine. Do you? But like, give that. And they actually did some shit. They put out records. I think they even did a little touring. But like, if you write something that people pick up on and are hot on, yo, go play some shows, do some shit, work on it, make it happen, get a record out.
Yeah, see what happens. This is a thing I wrestle with a lot because having been putting out music for a long minute now, I kind of have like a not so secret resentment for people that just like fly by night, like oh, I just, you know, I think it'd be cool to have a 7-inch. Forgetting that that's how I started making music. What I mean? But now that I've been doing it for so long and I'm like, yo, this is a vocation, motherfucker. It either calls your name or it doesn't. I get like real fucking deep
right.
and heavy.
Just
because
you can do it doesn't mean you should.
Right. But the thing is that like, I try not to be the stodgy old dickhead about this shit that has put out 100 records, but like, yeah, put out
Did
some fucking 50 records.
In the last...
He just put out 50 records in the last 40 minutes.
I put out a record while I was sitting here.
Yeah, all right, let's go.
But is Bandcamp a thing that we are too old to understand?
No, it's not. It's great. I mean, I think it's great because it's like, it's a way to get your shit out there immediately.
Like, is a 7-inch not a thing that people like?
I'll speak
7 inches
on this.
Are dead for a lot of reasons.
I think me and Pat have talked about this, and I would say this to some of my friends. You know what I think is the move is very small press 7 inches.
Sure.
I would rather sell 57 inches for $20 a pop than try to sell 200 7-inches for $5 a
but
pop.
But is that feasible to be able to get that
I think
low,
so.
That
I mean,
small
if,
amount?
If you put out, but I mean, if you do 57 inches and people aren't buying for that, well, then maybe you shouldn't have put out a fucking record. Your Bandcamp was fine.
Here's the deal. If you put out 100 7-inches, what do you charge? 1,000?
Yeah, I mean for a standard pressing, I mean you're probably looking at a $10 piece, or let's say it's with covers and stuff, you're in the 800-ish range.
Right. Okay. So that makes sense. So all right. So people at home, if you have no familiarity with this, if you've never done a label or never deep dived on your,
this will be a whole episode too. By the way,
yeah, this will be a whole episode. But
we are booked out until like 2020.
But basically, as with almost every piece of manufacturing in the world, the smaller run of something that you do, the price per unit goes up.
Right.
So that's a lot of times young bands, young labels think, yeah, but if I press 1,000, you know, my
price per unit is low. It's low enough. If you press 1,000 7-inches today, you can probably, if you don't go crazy with the cover and colors and all that, you can probably come away with a cost of goods per unit. So each one costs you to make it somewhere between $3 and $350
right.
per piece.
And you think, oh, I'm going to sell those at five to seven, not understanding that no, you're not. You're going to have to be middleman to buy a distro. So
you're
going to
wholesale a bunch for $4.25.
Right. So in fact, you're making pennies on the dollar at the end of the day. But whatever. But to the point, you are making, to be clear, you are making no money on a 100 pressing of a 7-inch.
None.
However,
unless
that should not be your goal. You know what I mean? Your goal should be to break even on that, maybe.
Maybe.
And to just have product for when you are touring. It is a loss. You take a loss when you are building your business.
Right.
Like, it is like any other business on the face of the planet. Oh, shit, I just bought this pizzeria. It looks like a good investment. Oh, no, the cooler broke. Guess what, motherfucker? You buy a cooler.
Yeah. Buy a cooler, yeah.
So here's the deal. You bought a cooler in the form of 107 inches that you would have to sell at $10 and sell all of them to really make any money. Right. And you're not making really
money. No, and so, you know what? Right. We could go on about this, right?
Right.
Let's do that. Let's do a whole episode. We're going to get deep on this and send us questions because we'll go on it. I've done records. Pat's done records.
I have not done any records.
But he's been on the other side, so he's going to be kind of guiding us through it. I think, and it, you know, we're talking about 2018. I will say this. I think that I hear new shit all the time. I'm actively looking for new bands, always checking out. Some band from South Florida, Subliminal Control. I don't think they've really done much. Melodic hardcore. It's interesting and cool. I asked some people down there, and they're like, oh, yeah, they're cool. Nobody outside of here knows them, but I think it's cool. There's a ton of stuff that I hear, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
And I don't have a track back on that because there was no release, and, you know, it just kind of gets lost at the same time. I'm currently thinking of some band from Michigan that did a Bandcamp-only thing that I was like, oh, shit, this is awesome, like last year maybe. It was the dude who moved to California, does the podcast with Colin. Whatever the dude's name is.
Oh, does the movie podcast.
Whatever. But he did some band, and it's gone. I don't even remember the name, but I thought it was fucking great, and it just never, nothing. It's just like, oh, here's this project.
And look, some of you listening to this, that's your shit. Your thrill is obscurity. Your thrill is these tiny releases, et cetera, that you remember fondly and whatever. I'm over that bullshit. So so I'm not with it. But okay.
New releases for 2018. Let's run down it. Trail of Lies.
Trail of Lies. Let's talk about Trail of Lies. Let's talk about this.
Promo.
Let's talk about this. So Trail of Lies do we think they do everything the right way? Is that fair?
I think they do.
Okay. 100%.
Yeah.
So Bob is a longtime backer of Trail of Lies.
Yeah.
And part of it is their presentation.
A lot of it.
They understand what they are doing and are demonstrating a mastery of the actual job of being a hardcore band. Okay, so that doesn't mean he likes every song. You know what I mean?
I'll speak on it. I don't, musically, it's not my world. It's like they're doing that Syracuse, like heavier shit. It's just not what I'm into. But live, they're crazy. A lot like Incendiary, not the same energy, but like they have a fucking energy. It's like, oh shit, okay, I see why people are going wild for it. I think the record's going to be big. I think it's going to be good. And I just think they execute everything. If they put in the work, I think they could be the biggest band going by this time next year.
So, okay, prediction, that's a strong one. Now,
not the biggest band. No. You know what? I'll say they'll be...
the hottest hardcore band.
They'll be on the up and up. Like, they'll be one of those bands who people are like, oh shit, that This Is Hardcore set was crazy.
Yes.
If they play, you know what I mean?
That I think is true. Let me say this. I did not think that at all. Met one of the dudes, cool dude. It is heavy. I'm thinking in more of a Buried Alive sort of way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it is heavy, and I'm with that. But it did not come together for me, and you kept saying, listen, this band's going to be big. Totally ignored you.
Yes,
thought Bob's crazy.
Yes.
And then I watched their promo video the other day. Their promo video, which is legitimately them, it's just black and white film.
Is it like a Nike commercial?
It's a Nike commercial.
With now, like a hip hop beat behind
it. Right, yes, yes, yes. Not their music, but like, yeah, right. So here's the deal. I watched that and am now convinced that they are going to be a big band. Not because I didn't even hear any new music.
Let's run it at the end of this episode.
Let's run the promo at the end of this episode.
So that shit proved to me, oh, these dudes have a brain in their head, and they know what they're doing. Now, don't get me wrong. If a band without the hardcore ties, if a band with even a touch of a credibility issue did the same thing,
oh god,
we'd be murdering them.
Slaughtered.
Let's just be honest.
Slaughtered. If this is a bunch of beatdown kids that nobody knows,
right?
We all crushing them. Crushing
right.
them.
But because they got their bona fides and we recognize their faces, we know them.
Yeah.
We're thinking, okay, this is a smart play that you're doing. Whereas we would have murdered you if
totally.
you know.
They're going for it. I appreciate it.
But
and it's coming out on Edgewood Records, not fucking like Pure Noise, where it's going to feel like, oh shit, you know, no diss to Pure Noise.
No, but that's actually a good point. That's a good point. This is a very professional look.
Yes.
Probably undertaken by the band themselves.
Yes.
I don't know the dudes at Edgewood. Like
cool. It's going to be, they're going to do some cool shit this year.
But
a
like,
lot of cool shit.
Yeah.
But like, did they, speculation. Did they throw a budget at them and say, go make some video content?
Trail of Lies. Let's not put them on blast. I have a feeling this was a band done thing.
That's what I'm saying, but that's what makes it impressive.
Cool.
That's
Absolutely.
What makes it cool.
Right.
So, like, that sort of go-gettedness, you know what I mean?
Right. And even if those three labels that were listed on there threw them a couple of bucks to put this together.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fucking
even
cool.
Great. Yeah,
well, sure.
Awesome.
Particularly if the band actually said, hey, we're thinking about doing something. Can we get small budget? We're going to split it
using
up.
Using social media, using connections to all these different people.
It's 2018, you know, maybe it was like, yo, give us $300 so we can get our money.
Yes. Now, here's a definite own episode. Here's a teaser. My hottest take of my adult current life.
Wow. This is big.
Hardcore bands need to make money. That is my hot take. It is my, can you believe what I just said?
The audacity.
Audacity.
Let me follow it and
the
touch
temerity.
It on here. Here's the thing I'll touch it on. Hardcore bands should be able to make money, and there should be no shame in it.
Sure.
And nobody should be mad about it. Let's go on it.
Does that hinge on the reunion thing, too?
You have a real thing in
Nobody's
your craw
saying, like,
right
band
now.
Nobody's saying shouldn't make
Hardcore band should
make money.
There should be no shame attached to it. There should be no like, oh, like they have to feel
but
away.
I'm
like,
coming,
I think
you know,
there is shame that like when you're asking for $20,000 for a reunion show.
But here's what I'm going to say. Okay, real quick. I think that part of that push back if you were, if I was going to push back, and I wouldn't push back on that, because if somebody came, if I was doing a fest and somebody said our price is $20,000, I'd say, well, keep it moving then, you know what I mean? Like, try the next fest. But if you got it from somebody, good for you. Here's my point is the reason that this is a hot take is not because I play hardcore music and I need money for rent. I actually currently don't play any hardcore music, but I think that as a genre, maybe an art form that I enjoy, it is not going to get any more interesting unless people can afford to do it. You know what I mean?
Right, and throw themselves into it full head.
Exactly. Stuff because right now we have a ton of half-stepping. We have a ton of people with a toe in.
Right, and that's what those Bandcamp recordings are. You do it as a project. It's like, oh, I can't do that. I need to finish school, man. I'm doing this.
Right, yes.
I got a full-time job. Free, and if you make
I work
bucks,
at State Farm. I can't do this
all the time. And I don't think we're going to get I don't think we're going to get that level of dynamic change, that interesting bubble until there is an ability to make rent. And that's why I think it's important.
So let's get Trailalize makes that money, 2018. All right, next.
Chase it.
All right, let's, so Edgewood Records. I'll just go through these quick. Trailalize LP. Regulate, go in the studio next week. Seb wouldn't talk about this. Humble little dude.
Is that an LP?
LP.
Yep.
Edgewood, you're wild.
And Blind Justice.
We can't talk about it? Okay. Well, some other shit then.
No, we can talk. I mean,
okay,
I don't know.
Knew about that. I thought that was out there.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, Body said it at the show, so you can't get mad about this. Blind Justice LP.
No, it was posted somewhere. Did they make that up?
Edgewood, and I think maybe somebody else is involved too, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I think someone posted that this year, like 2018 is going to be
Trailalized. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I saw kids talking about
Blind Justice.
And some other stuff.
So, Regulate, let's talk about Regulate. I think that record's going to be big. The thing I've been telling them, because they're my buddies, I was like, yo, they've got this heaviness. They've got this groove.
The groove is there.
Really there. And I was like, yo, I want to hear some fast songs in there just to change it up, but make it good. Like, not. And the new shit that I've heard is great.
Okay.
So that record's going to be big, and I think they want to tour and go. And they want to go full bore at it. So,
yeah, it'd be awesome if there was, like, a young hardcore band that was, like, an actual hardcore band. No, that's not shade to people that are doing
wild
shit.
Straight up,
like, but, like, that was going at it full tilt.
Well, and the thing is, they're heavy enough for the heavy kids, but they're fast enough, and they got enough groove. The kids who are more into a straight up or more traditional thing can vibe on it too.
So. Okay,
and I'm psyched for this Blind Justice record. The last record was really great.
Okay,
and I think if they got put in front of people, like they would murder it.
Singers,
Body's
one of the best,
front men, like in the last probably the 2000s.
Yeah,
I
agree with that.
Really?
Seriously, like,
yo, his
like
energy
a full,
is wild.
Like Zach De La Roca, like. Fuck. Like, and the dudes in the band are all like
into
really
it.
Good musicians, and like they could legit, like, if they could get their shit together, they would be fucking terrible.
So these are my young homies,
and
I say that in no sunning way. Like, they're fucking amazing. They're the best band from the area I grew up in a long time.
Yeah, if you see them, you'd be shocked at how, like, you'd be like, how is this band not the biggest band in hardcore right now?
And like, they played Sound and Fury a couple years ago when it came back. And they played a 12-minute set and just blew up the stage. And it's the singer's got that energy in him that's almost like you can't control. It's like, you know, it's like popping a bottle.
It's like fucking,
it goes crazy.
His hair is nuts. He's like all over the fucking place.
Yeah, and so,
like,
so here's the big thing. Their last record, Undertow, it's on Spotify, so fucking listen to that shit.
Yeah.
Yo, there's only 500 copies of it on vinyl. And I've been like, damn, you know, I just think that didn't even get the opportunity for people to see it out there.
I didn't even know it existed in physical copy.
I'll give you, I have an extra. It's for you.
Oh, awesome. Thank
but
you.
So, that's it. Just they got to get out there. I think that's a cool band, and like, if they can do a little bit, that's enough. They do it live, so I think that's a cool record. And it's a traditional, like, they're fast hardcore, you know,
but not like Youth Crew corny stuff.
No, really
good and super impressive live.
Shall we talk about, to wrap up, instead of looking forward, should we talk about what's happening right this second?
Yeah, you got some updates. I got some updates.
You got some updates.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's talk about. How you say this name? Vamachara.
Good band.
Okay, so I listened to... So they put out an LP last night. Did you listen to it?
I haven't yet. I saw them. We played with them at Rainfest.
Okay.
And I was actually pretty impressed. I was impressed. Very good.
This band, to me, needs to isolate the interesting parts, which happen every other song, and make that the record. Because there's... This record is heavy. I listened to it twice. The record is heavy, undeniably. It's hard.
Yeah.
If you could do heavy and hard, you're onto something. You know what I mean? Like, but then there's these really interesting parts. Like, straight up, like, annoying leads, and you're like, oh, what a weird decision to be annoying. But that's a decision, and yeah. It sounds cool because right. It's fucking vocals. There's a different vocal shit. And to me, that's spice right now, but I'd like it if that was the full meal. You know what I mean? I'd like it if it was just like, hey, instead of doing 9 songs that are heavy with like a touch of something weird every third song.
Let's do just fucking Ford Weir songs.
Here's 4 Here's an EP fucking of weird heavy songs, and I would have enjoyed that much more.
California's got some stuff going on.
Yeah, they do.
Dead Heat.
Them. Good band. Yeah.
Line of Sight just put out a record. Now, you listen to this one?
I have not, but I feel like when I hear that name,
yes,
I
think correct.
Wait, hold on. That's how hold I feel. On. We need Tom to talk about it. Go.
I'm not trying to be a dick. No shade
go
towards
go
these
in.
Dudes.
Be dick.
I feel like this is a band that I saw like open for 10 Yard Fight in like 1998 in Worcester.
Okay.
And I don't even, like, I have no idea they could be a Slayer cover
band.
But that's what I think of when I hear the name.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is a lot of these bands are so formalist with the name, so stuck in genre with the name.
Unified, right? Any of these bands. They
all
have like that.
Line of Sight records called Descent. Out on Youngblood Records soon.
Right now,
pre-orders are coming out.
You can
listen to it.
Up,
So is it a Youngblood? Like,
it is. It's Youngblood, and it is Youngblood music for sure. For those of you at home that... is Youngblood... Okay, here's me sounding hella old.
No, go.
Is Youngblood at all a relevant label to kids? Or
no.
Did Triple B usurp that space?
It's interesting. Did Sam usurp that space? Youngblood... had a moment. Youngblood started and were releasing records pretty slowly,
but each one was a hit.
But yeah, people were really drawn to it. He had a cool aesthetic. He was doing cool stuff. Even though when you look back at it, you're like, there's a few that really stick out from the early era. Life's Hall, huge thing, you know. But then you go, oh, Rancor. I like Rancor. Do you know? Have you ever heard Rancor, Pat?
No.
Have you heard Rancor, Tom?
I have, but I mean, I don't know if I've ever...
So that's some like real deep 97 straight edge cuts. But like he's done stuff that look cool. He's always been putting out, say mid 2000s, he really kind of crescendoed. He put out the first Iron Age record, Constant Struggle.
Right.
Well, the LP.
Didn't he have like the First Step? Was that him too? Or no?
No, he never did First
Step.
But they felt like they should. They did React and they did Rivalry. No, they didn't do React. React did like a last record. They did Livewire, and then they did Rivalry.
Okay.
So, Youngblood...
I mean, Livewire was a label, not just a message board?
Fucking, yeah, I know. Right. We'll talk about it some other time. But they crescendoed. They do Iron Age. They do Lights Out. Lights Out LP, Overload. Totally overlooked record from that time period. And then he kind of slowed down again, but has continually done stuff.
Yeah.
So, is it as relevant as it was 5 years ago? Sure. Is it as relevant as it was 10 years ago? I don't think so. But, like, it's just on frequency of releases. I think people still do check his shit out. He's always put that effort in being at the fast, going to this is hardcore, this and that, and putting certain stuff out. I don't think it's gotten, like, he hasn't had that one record that's stuck with people, like, say, the Fury LP that Sam put out.
Right.
But, like, this Line of Sight record, people are hype on it.
I mean, there are a ton of dudes out there that still wear T-shirts over their hoodies.
Yes, that
and
is a fact.
Still, that's a thing,
that
and
a
it
fact.
Blows my mind every once in a while. You go, what the fuck?
Yes.
It's like you have a Gorilla Biscuit shirt over Ethan Today hoodie. Like,
sometimes that
kinda
aesthetic
awesome.
Feels wild. Yeah, some people
and you're like 22. It's amazing.
And don't forget, like, know, shorts over your sweatpants as well. That's a good...
That's like a homeless.
So Line of Sight, but you were vibing on it. You thought that was cool.
So this Line of Sight record was sent to me by Mike B. of Spiritual Cramp.
Which we didn't talk about their record for last year because a lot of people talked about it.
Oh, the Spiritual Cramp record... Spiritual Cramp is a band that should be on everybody's radar.
They're playing those AN shows.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And that's a good fit. We got to talk about those AN shows. Who's coming to those?
Yeah, let's talk about that shit another time.
But Mike B. turned me on to this. He's not like a Youth Crew head, but he likes anything that demonstrates smart. You know what I mean? So I gave it a listen, and I wasn't mad. And I'm going to say that is the highest compliment that I can pay to a Youth Crew record.
So I haven't listened to it yet. I have the demo and I liked it okay. Let me say this as an older dude now. The dude who sings in Line of Sight, Austin, he plays guitar in Free, I think.
Yeah, and was touring Have Heart
Before
musician.
All of that.
He is a excellent live musician.
Yeah, goes off. He sang for this band, The Frontline, who did 1/7 inch on Grave Mistake called Withstand. And it's of that style, like straight edge, kind of like straight up hardcore kind of stuff. Like Youth Crew, I don't like throwing that around as a genre. It's not quite that, but it's on the faster side of that stuff. It's really fucking good. So I'm not surprised this record's cool. I want to check it out.
Yeah,
I think also secretly, Pat would have a softer spot for Youth Crew shit if he grew up in a different place. Like secretly.
Anywhere but Albany?
If he grew up in New Jersey, that dude's like turning point all over the place.
Yeah, you have like a mouthpiece tattoo or something.
Yes, he is. Yeah, we'll talk about that on another time.
So okay. This is available online.
You can listen to it right now.
Yeah, right now you can listen to it on Bandcamp.
Gonna do that.
All right, so next up, I'm running through these quick. Bad Moods, Super Collider. This is Tim, formerly, he was in one incarnation of Foundation.
Foundation, right?
Foundation, correct.
Yes.
He is one of my favorite Atlanta figures.
Absolutely.
He is his own dude and has walked his own path for a minute, as consistently says fuck you to the right and wrong people.
Yes.
And for that, I always have a lot of respect for him. We'll check out what he's doing. When he told me that he was basing his musical career on a single Evan Dando performance, I thought that that was a mighty risky line to walk. So for people at home that might not be into some of that shit, there was a period, and sometimes still happens, I guess, where dudes like Evan Dando were performing electric guitar, but unaccompanied.
Yes.
And this is the most easy type of music to fuck up. This is the type of performance that can veer so head first into terrible thing
to
witness.
You gotta have a charm and a voice to be able to pull
it
off.
Oh my God. Yeah, everything has to be perfectly dialed in or you are... It's like going to Guitar Center otherwise. it's fucking terrible. But so when he told me that that was his inspiration, I was a little nervous. But I've checked out what he's been doing over the time, and this is band shit.
He's got a full band, right?
But... it is really good.
It's called Bad Moods.
Really good. Bad really Moods.
Good. Like Lemonheads vibe?
Bad Moods. No, it's like...
No.
Not even that raucous. It's it's pulled back. It's...
I feel like you would like it.
Yeah, I love that sort of shit.
You know what I thought was interesting? I thought there was a lot of personality in it.
Yep.
Okay. And like... Can I say there's twang in the vocals?
No, you can say it.
But it's not on some forced bullshit. That it's just, it feels cool. It feels like a real authentic thing, and it's stepping out of hardcore. So you should, I encourage everybody to check it out.
I called it
cool.
College rock online and got like a little pushback.
Because people don't understand.
There is no college
CMJ
rock.
Has been dying.
There's no college rock now. But this is
this fits in.
This
there.
Is 120 minutes
like, of the bands that are go. Of the bands that are. Going backwards towards college rock, and that includes some of the
bands,
like the Pop Wig peripheral bands, like Bug, that sort of stuff. Like this was my favorite of that sound.
Totally, another level. It's great. Yeah.
And now we got to talk about that Jukai Winter promo. That's the last one I got.
I got two demos I want to talk about.
Good.
And real quick. I want to put out a Jukai record, full disclosure, at some point. I really like Jukai. My girl loves Jukai.
I can make that happen.
I think there's a lot of potential. However, this was a step in the wrong direction for me personally.
Why?
Because I was nervous that they would not spend the time recording. I know that they wanted something out for FYA. I knew that they... time was of the essence. They really wanted this material out, and it might just be me. This might be like not the consensus. Maybe a 22-year-old hardcore kid feels different. I need everybody to sound just a little bit better now, and it might be because my ears are going. But I need
like the recording.
Yes, yeah. I need
the two songs. I thought the second song was a lot. Like, I liked the first one. I thought the second one was
Second song was better. All right, so here's where I'll go.
I think both songs could have killed if they took a week in the studio.
I don't know.
That's the way I feel.
Who paid for it? Scanlon?
I don't know the answer.
You know what I mean?
Reconsider Records?
I didn't get into their business, but
oh, shit.
Look at that.
But.
Prolific.
And this isn't me shitting on their labels. It's not me shitting on them. It's just, honestly.
I mean, if they're coming out of pocket, how much do you expect them to sound like they're fucking?
Okay, well, I'm gonna say something wild ass.
I mean, they're adults and they have jobs.
There's so adults just, and they're like, sure. So I do a label. So let me let this is a little letting people behind the curtain in a way that it might put me out of business. Might put me out of business.
A two song.
There's five
recording.
Of you.
We talking $400 a piece?
400. You'd kill it if each five people brought. $400 a piece?
Quick math, that's $2,000.
Yeah.
That would mean that you could record two songs and have them professionally mastered by someone that knows their craft.
Okay.
And have two excellent sounding songs.
Okay.
Even if you're doing heavy music, and heavy music is where you need to have a little bit more...
like clarity and kind of... Okay. Yeah.
Even if you're doing heavy music, at $2,000 and change... you can have a great sounding
four song EP. Probably. Yes.
So here's where I'm gonna go in and say that I'm with all the production talk, and I think it's worth it. I think there is a need for it. I think that sometimes because of the accessibility of some do it yourself or just doing some easier shit, there's not the respect for the craft of production.
But is
there's
this a little too like inside baseball?
There's a little
for us?
Bit, but I'm gonna go right back to the music. I think that's a band who I've seen live and go, oh, shit, this is the band who should be big next year. Like, they should be a band we talk about. 2018 should be the year for Jakai. But I think 2017 should have been the year for Jakai,
That's what
too.
I'm saying. They should and be they playing direct. They should put out something that puts them directly under Code Orange as support.
Right.
That's how strongly I feel about that.
And wow. I think the music, it's heavy, right?
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be, but it doesn't hit it for me with these songs. And, you know, like, take it with a grain of salt because I'm the least heavy,
yeah,
hardcore
that's not
dude.
Your scene, yeah.
But I can certainly give it an ear, and I've had a fucking long time to listen to this stuff, so some of it does resonate. And I just went, oh, this isn't heavy enough. Heavy in a way that's, like, ignorant, like, oh, shit, this is fucking dumb to me. And it's also not heavy enough in a, like, tasteful heavy, like, oh, I vibe on this way. So I think it's just missing, you know, it's like eating a baked potato with no salt, no butter, no pepper, no nothing. And being like, oh, this is good. I could subside on this and I get it. But like, I saw that baked potato come out on a plate over there, and that motherfucker had cheese, and he had some, I think I saw Chives. Some bacon bits. Yeah, there was some crazy shit going on. And like, I saw them, and that's Jakai. I've seen them live, and I've seen them tear up a room.
Yeah.
So like, I think they got it in them. So it's not like a harsh criticism, but those two songs are cool.
Just
they could
just
be cooler.
A little rushed, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hear that, Jakai?
Go.
Pat Kinlan has about $3,000 waiting with the.
I thought he said four, but I'm not sure.
I definitely didn't say
$1,000 a song.
We're robbing that big bank down there.
Definitely didn't say four.
He's wearing a ball top. All right.
Like, so that was your last one.
Yes.
All right. Two demos totally. That I like that are both on Bandcamp. My buddy Andrew put out a demo. His band is called Combust. It is, if you wanted to exist in 1989 at CBGB's, you would love this demo. It kind of reminds me of Outburst and bands of that ilk.
Oh, shit.
Really well done. They just started playing. I think their first show was with the Cro-Mag, so it's, you know.
They already played.
It's a good way to start. Yeah,
they're on that Trapped Under Ice show in New Jersey coming up.
Yes, really. It's cool. It's really good. He had sent me a while back. I listened to it again today, and I really enjoyed it, and I think it's really well done. Definitely like 1989, 1990 New York hardcore. And then Seb has a new band that he didn't even talk about.
I know. He told me about it later. Yeah, like the next day he's talking
about
it.
TOS. I don't know what it stands for. In my head, it stands for Terms of Service.
Yeah.
Which is like, you should just call the band EULA or something. End User License Agreement. But I really like that,
I
too.
Appreciate you explaining what that is.
I don't, you know what? How many... Does everyone know what a fucking EULA is?
No.
Thank you. Yeah.
But I really like that, too. And I think it's got like that same kind of vibe. I enjoy it.
I really like that TOS demo. Fucking awesome.
What does it stand for? Do you know
what
it is?
No, I don't know what it stands for. I don't care what it stands for.
Terms of Service is cool. I like it.
Terms of Service. Terms of Service. Your new fucking band.
Yeah, that makes
Seb.
You
come
like
on.
Some like pop punk band. Then you're patent pending.
Terms of Service?
Oh, yo, after Seb's emotional turn, Tears of Seb. TOS, Tears of Seb, that's what it's at. Yo, it's like, he was saying to me when he was telling me about it, he's like, oh, it's sort of like, it's influenced by Death Side, Bastard, and New York hardcore, like some Japanese hardcore, and I hear that in the production. There's some really raw guitars, the vocals, which Seb sings, really affected, totally different than the Regulate shit.
He sounds like he's in another room.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But it's
bad vibe,
it's fucking cool. I think, I think it's there. But what I would say is when people cite Japanese hardcore, a lot of times you get a really stagnant drum beat. You got no low end. This totally has a New York drummer.
Okay.
And you can hear it. He's going at it. And, you know, you listen to one song, you go, oh, this is a band from New York. It's great. I hope they do stuff. Again, don't get past Bandcamp. I already told Seb that. So do okay. it.
But both demos, really good.
Combust, TOS.
Yeah.
All right. I only heard one demo that I'll mention here, Way of Life. Some young dudes from South Florida. Cool. Straightforward, sounding hardcore, fast shit. Some parts did remind me of like Floor Punch style, but like the thing is when people talk about Floor Punch and like I won't jump on it, what they miss, they'll be like, oh, there's this like plodding drum beat, this and that, and the other. They missed that band was really fast. The yeah. fast parts were really fast, and that's what this band had, was some cool really fast parts. So I dug that. Way of Life.
Probably my nightmare.
I don't know. We'll listen to it in the break.
Okay. So we are going to start ripping off the format of the Joe Budden podcast, where we play some of these songs for you at the end of episodes. But you got the boring version where we just sort of opine on each one.
Maybe we can throw a song on, you know, yeah, do right. some post-pod. That's true.
We can go out post-prod. With something. But
yeah. There you go.
Let's call that a wrap. And say that this was episode 2 of Axe to Grind podcast. Anybody want to get hit with an at anything? Not really.
At the podcast.
Actual podcast. Okay, so.
That's not the at.
At.
What is it?
At Axe to Grind cast. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, Twitter. Okay, all right.
And spelled out AXE.
Yes.
TOGRIND. CAST.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, yes.
You're better than that. So
the slowness in our brains is coming out strong here.
It's not good. So. Hit us on that shit, or individually if you're respectful and not in our business. Thank you for listening.
Feedback.
Thank you to John.
Yeah. Thank you to John Markson today, our engineer. And have a beautiful week and a half or week or whatever the fuck. Goodbye.